when we talk about operations and running a solid business, solid practice, I would highly recommend you invest in and use Dental Intelligence. From everything that I've seen from the doctors that use it, they run better practices. They run more profitable practices. And so it's well worth your investment to invest in Dental Intelligence as part of that operational foundation for your practice.
This is Growth in Dentistry, a Dental Intelligence podcast, where we ask the question, what does growth in dentistry mean to you? I'm Steve Jensen, a data dental nerd and your host.
Welcome back, everyone. I am super excited, as always, for today's episode. Now, before we jump in, a couple of quick house cleaning items. I want to give a huge shout out, as always, to the team at Dental Intelligence, the marketing team, for sponsoring this podcast. It is so much work to produce it week after week, and they do such a good job. As always, they have an offer for you as listeners. If you've never checked out Dental Intelligence, or if you're a current customer and you haven't checked out some of our new products, they'll give you a $50 gift card just for seeing a demo, which is super generous of them. So come check it out. New cool things like scorecards that you can build, automated payments and payment plans. We're working on a really cool new integration with CareCredit coming up here that you guys are going to want to check out. We're making it even easier for you to get insight into, like, hey, what opportunities do I have to present patients to treatment, and what are they even approved for ahead of time? So there's some cool stuff that we've got coming down the pipeline. If it's been a while since you've checked it out, definitely check it out. Now, we also, I'll go into this. I'm just going to jump straight in. Okay, here we go. Here's what I've got going on today. So today I'm bringing Spencer Walker on, who's a partner at Dental Implant Machine. And I want to help you guys understand why I'm having Spencer come join. So you may have heard me talk about this before, but I've been watching this trend in dentistry. So here's what I'm seeing. Of the 10,000 practices we work with, there's this obvious trend. There's a number I'm tracking called treatment dollars presented per exam. And it's basically just how many dollars we're presenting every time an exam happens. And that number is getting bigger and bigger, and has been for 5 years straight, and bigger than what you would expect just from simple fee increases. And what's happening is general practices are bringing more and more advanced procedures and specialty services into their business. Now, there's like the traditional like orthodontics and trying to do more crowns, but those have been around for a while. Lately, what has been a big trend is starting to really advance our clinical skill in the implant space. And that's exactly why I wanted Spencer to come on, because that is his specialty. And I'm a huge fan of specialization. The second reason why I wanted Spencer to come on is this trend. Another number that I watch is one that's called treatment dollar case acceptance. And it's a simple number. It just takes all of the treatment plans that we present, and it looks at what percentage of those treatment dollars are actually getting scheduled or completed. So at that same rate, we're taking bigger at-bats with bigger types of procedures in general practices. We're actually seeing a decline in treatment dollar case acceptance, which tells me there's this gap between our skill and our clinical ability and our ability to get patients to like understand and move forward with the treatment that we're presenting. And so I wanted to really just focus this episode on implants, on this skill, because Spencer and the team at Dental Implant Machine have created a full arch framework. Like, they've thought through this whole experience on how do we really help make sure that we have the best clinical impact in dentistry using the skills that we've invested in. So with that being said, Spencer, I want to welcome you on the podcast, man. Thank you for joining us. Tell us about like what you do. Like, why did you even get into implants specifically? Because there's so many like marketing people out there and they kind of do broad stuff. Like, why did you pick implants, and tell us a little bit about what you guys are working on?
Well, you know, it's like you just wake up one day and you're like, I want to do marketing for dental implants.
For implants.
No, I'm just kidding. That is not what happened.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a client. I was an outsourced marketing manager. I had a little business.
Uh-huh.
Had a client that was a dentist. Had a friend who had a marketing agency. And we partnered together to run some ads for this client. He wanted to focus on implants. And so together we built a marketing campaign and funnel. Mm-hmm. It went really well. And we decided just to partner up and work together to support other dentists who wanted to do the same. And so that's actually how it started all those years ago. And here we are looking back, having grown this to become the largest dental implant specific marketing agency and case acceptance training organization. So there you go. That's a little history on us.
Yes. Yeah. So tell me, let's get into like implants then. So tell me, how do you actually like help dentists with implants specifically? Like how is that different than presenting like a 2 and 3 service filling or a crown? Mm-hmm. Like what makes that unique? And then maybe talk about the full arch framework. You tell me where you want to start. You're the expert at this. So I'm going to let you tell me. Where do you want to start with this?
The reason why, in order to understand your first question there about why is it different than your general dentistry, the reason why is because of the type of patient. So the average, and this is where things get mixed up. The average person who's buying full arch out there across the nation is a blue collar worker earning 50 to 70, maybe 80K a year, nearing retirement age, hasn't been to a dentist in 3 to 7 years.
Yeah, now I think everyone should probably just like pause and like think through that. Like those demographics are really important as you think through like even your own existing patient base. Like, yeah, that's really fascinating.
So think about that person. If you're regularly going to a dentist, you're probably more likely to be upkeeping
your
mouth.
Not losing your teeth. Yeah, that makes, like I'm hearing you talking about, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like who are the people whose lifestyle is like, it's probably like, kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, I mean, you're just working hard and like mm-hmm. your life is like revolved around work. You're providing for your family. And so your teeth just aren't the priority over the course of that work life. So your lifestyle and earnings are getting to a point where like you're losing teeth. And so now you're in need of implants.
Yeah. And that's not to say that there aren't people who go to a dentist who need implants, right?
For sure.
There's a lot. So but if we talk about it, especially into full arch, the average person is not currently going or seeing a dentist regularly. And so if you were seeing a dentist and you had a problem with your mouth, you would go to your dentist, right? To get help. And so a lot of these people are out there searching the internet. And so typically when you do marketing for dental implants, you bring in a person who hasn't been regularly going to the dentist. They're out there searching, again, the average person, right? And now let's think about that. You know, the average dental office is equipped to take care of that patient who's consistently regularly coming in, generally taking care of themselves, right? Yeah. They know how to deal with that.
Processes are like oriented towards that, right? Like they're retaining this patient base over time. They've seen them for years. They're building this kind of longer term relationship of trust so that when something comes up that's more expensive, they already have that relationship mm-hmm. so that is more likely. But this is different, right? Yeah, that's really good to point out.
Now imagine this person who you've never met is clicking around the internet, sees your ad, sees some marketing, fire, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. They come in or they get on the phone with you. I mean, think about the emotional state, the psychology of it. These people tend to carry a lot of shame, a lot of embarrassment, mm-hmm. Some deep, deep and big emotions, including like financial. You know, this is a blue collar worker and insurance typically isn't going to pay for that. Yeah. And so we've literally got like somebody who doesn't fit the traditional mold is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, and now we have, you know, Sweet Susan in the dental practice who's used to dealing with these people who consistently come in, and then you throw this person at them and it's a whole new ball game. So a lot of doctors have been getting into implants, learning how to place implants. I say every weekend, another doctor gets their implant wings.
Yeah.
Their centers open up.
It is true. I've gone to implant courses myself. I'm not a dentist. And like, I've gone to the courses and there are just tons of dentists.
Tons. Going lots of courses, lots of doctors. And then you start marketing and you bring this person in, and the average person, that Sweet Susan, is not equipped. She's great at handling traditional dentistry, but not equipped to deal with somebody who has this amount of emotional and psychological and financial situation going on. And it's hard for them to convert a lot of these people into paying patients, right? Yeah. And so that's where you see all of this unscheduled treatment stacking up. Mm-hmm. And there's other aspects of it. And this kind of segues actually into the part of the full arch framework that you just mentioned. And to understand this, you got to go backward to COVID. So COVID happened, government shuts the economy down basically, right? to jumpstart it. They inject $5 trillion into the economy. And it was like the glory days of dental implants. People had like cash flowing out of their pockets.
Everything. Money was free. I think real estate was booming. And I think everything was booming. Stock market was on a rip.
Everything. Until inflation caught up over the last couple of years. It's gone up. And when inflation goes up, think about that blue collar worker. Well, guess what? That really pinches their pocket.
More expensive. Yep.
Fed increases the interest rate to stop inflation, which worked, slowed it down. But now, according to some metrics out there, around 90% of implants are bought using financing. And so because it's more expensive, insurance doesn't cover. And so when 90% of it are bought using financing and the interest rate goes up, now it costs more to borrow that money. Not as many people can afford it. And
which means monthly payments, I'm assuming, are up, right?
Yeah. One final nail in this coffin is that with inflation being up, people have not wanted to stop their lifestyle. And so when inflation went up, consumer debt has skyrocketed over the last couple of years. And that means debt to income ratios start to get a little out of whack and FICO scores drop. Mm-hmm. So fewer people can actually qualify for financing on the back end than before. And so some of it's not just that the teams aren't equipped or skilled in knowing how or trained in knowing how to help close that treatment and get them to start. But part of it's just financially, they can't afford it. Literally
changed. Yeah.
Yeah. Whether budget or due to FICO score, they can't afford it. So the pie is shrunk. Mm-hmm. There's actually about 10,000 baby boomers who reach retirement age every day in our country between now and 2030. So it hasn't hit it as hard as it could have hit it, the market, but it certainly has felt, everybody's felt it and it's shrunk. You throw on top of that, everybody wants in on it too, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to get in. So many more doctors, like we just said, are getting trained, their centers opening up. So it's like the pie shrunk a little.
As inflation goes up, that means the labor and cost to run these dental practices is going up. And so we've got to figure out, I mean, I get it. They're trying to figure out how do I, like a lot of those like tooth, you know, surface fillings now all of a sudden feel like they're like a neutral effect on like the EBITDA of the business. So the thought is, how can I do some higher value procedures that are a great offering to the patient that help with profitability too? So naturally people want to get in on it, you know?
It makes sense. It's a tough market for it.
Now I'm understanding that.
You know, a couple of years ago, year and a half, two, 3 years ago, it was a great time to get in on it. It's tougher today. But in spite of that, this is where it segues into that framework. Yeah. We did an evaluation over the last year to see, because some of our doctors were having the best months they've ever had.
Yeah.
And other doctors were struggling. One of my doctors did 42 arches in 1 month in Minnesota. That's not even Florida, right? And it was in the month that you would typically think is the slowest month of the year for this in December in Minnesota.
Yeah, when like Christmas spend is up, so people would be like pulling back on spend.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
How can they do that? And the secret, like, and what we found is as we analyzed all these top performing doctors is they all did certain things. They all had certain things in common. And so here's the framework.
Yeah. Please share. I think everyone else is on the edge of their seat. Like I am.
This is the secret to competing and performing well in this market today, right? So at a foundation, clinical. If you don't have the clinical in place, you don't know what you're doing. You know, basically the more clinical you have, the more types of cases, the more complicated cases, and the more you can charge for fees, the more you can, the more types of cases you can bring on, right? Second is operational foundation. So these are the two pieces of your foundation that you got to have in place. Operations meaning a well-run practice.
Yeah.
And if your practice is struggling in that regard, maybe you have high turnover, maybe your EBIT is off, or you know there's just some things out of whack, I highly encourage you work with a consultant out there, somebody who can come in and kind of be that outsourced MBA for you to support you in developing and putting in place that business structure, that operational foundation. Because if you have the clinical and the operations in place, you can really scale an implant practice. And if you're lacking that, you can't really scale it.
Yeah. And in my mind, like we talk about what we call the profitability formula at Dental Intelligence. And I think those pillars for us would basically be like, hey, our patient volume, meaning we can like manage the schedule well, and we aren't just like kind of throwing stuff at the schedule. We're like very thoughtful around who's going where, how we're using our operatories. We're very thoughtful around our production per visit, which has to do with that kind of scheduling methodology and the types of procedures and who's going where in the day. We're thoughtful around our collections processes. So you'd want to make sure like, yes, I know how to get like money from patients and money from insurance if you're you know, in network or you're out of network and billing for the patient in those situations and working on financing. So like you have a good process where it doesn't take you 45 to 60 days to collect your accounts receivable, but yet you're more like 20 days. Like that would be a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the last one is obviously making sure you have a good grasp of your overhead and, you know, that those things are dialed for your business size and your growth goals. I'll throw that out there just as our like foundations, but yeah, operationally. And then there's probably other stuff you want to see too. Like, are you answering the phones and like phone skills? Like some of those things are super critical for this whole experience. And so
that's actually part of the framework too, which I'll talk about in just a second.
Okay, cool. I'll leave that alone.
But I will say, to add to what you just said, when we talk about operations and running a solid business, solid practice, I would highly recommend you invest in and use Dental Intelligence. From everything that I've seen from the doctors that use it, they run better practices. They run more profitable practices. And so it's well worth your investment to invest in Dental Intelligence as part of that operational foundation for your practice. You'll be able to scale better because of Dental Intelligence. So just throwing that in there, promise you they're not actually paying
Thanks
me to say that. But for real, it's a great solid thing to do that. It's part of that foundation. So on top of that, we basically have three pillars or three core practice parts of scaling the implant part of your practice.
Yeah.
The first is what we call authority architecture.
Okay.
Authority architecture, excuse me. So your unique value proposition, this is like, why would I choose you over anybody else? So what we're seeing in the market right now is that people are being more cautious in how they spend their money. So think about that blue collar worker again, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are literally doing second, third, fourth, even more opinions. They're going to multiple dentists to try to find a deal, find the best option for them. They want to feel secure in how they're spending that money. And so they're doing more research. So if you have a really strong, unique value proposition, why should I choose you over anybody else? And it has to be more than just warm, fuzzy, like, mm-hmm. well, we really care more, you know? Yeah, okay. You know, anybody can say that, right? Find something that's unique about you and market that so that when somebody comes in, it sticks in their brain, it's like, I can't get that anywhere else, right? Okay. Social proof, video testimonials, smile reveals, online ratings and reviews, all that kind of good stuff that shows your work and shows that people choose you, you know? And then a third component of there would be educational content, especially content when the doctor themselves is setting up. What do you do when implants becomes a commodity? I mean, think about the early days of clear aligners when there were one or two docs doing Invisalign and they were charging $8K. And today everybody has their clear aligner version. And
pricing pressure is trying to bring it down. Yeah.
It's come way down. So how do you differentiate when the product itself is ubiquitous, right? Like it's out there. You have to differentiate using something else. And so this is a way to like set the practice up or the doctor up as the local authority and expert and differentiate from everybody else around them, right? So these things that I just mentioned are three core ways of building that authority architecture so you stand out. This is gonna get people to like and trust you more, be attracted to you more, and set you apart from your competition. Second pillar is marketing architecture, getting the message out there. And there are many ways to do that. We recommend like pay-per-click marketing, SEO, having a strong SEO, good website. And then you can start getting into
I'm assuming you're just taking a lot of that authority stuff and you're building that kind of into that presence, right? So when someone Googles your name, what they see on that Google listing, as well as like the text on the website, like all of, and then the reviews, like those are all kind of building up so that if I search like, you know, what dentist does implants near me and that Google listing comes up, like you want to see some obvious things about what makes them unique. And then even in the reviews, like having those mentioned specifically, you know, implants, I'm sure like you want all of those things to align so that that message, like you said, that first pillar, like reinforces the authority. And that I'm assuming makes the marketing stuff far more seamless, like work better, right?
Yes. Yes. What we've seen work well, pay-per-click SEO, OTT, which is like TV ads on streaming devices, TV ads themselves, radio. And so these are ones that have been effective. What we have found that's not very effective is actually like billboards or consistently, right?
Yeah.
Billboards. I've only ever known one office that did well with billboards, and they ran billboards for like a decade. And so
a long time.
Yeah, very long time. You know, now everybody knows them, right? But yeah, it took a long time to build that. Billboards, mailers, it's like a mailer will work well in one area and then not in another area. Okay. And you would think it would, but mailers, billboards have not been consistent, but those other things that I mentioned are some great resources and ways to get that message out, right?
Yeah.
And then the final thing is what we call the closing architecture.
Yeah.
This goes back to earlier, you're talking about phone calls, making sure you're
answering. And this is a big deal too. But to be fair, it's fun for me to listen to this. Like those first two pillars of the authority figure that you need to set up, that architecture, and then your marketing architecture, like those two pillars are so critical because they kind of lead the patient's mind up into this closing architecture. So yeah, so tell us about that pillar, the kind of the final one.
We have to get people to like and trust dental implants, and then we have to get them to like and trust the doctor, right?
Yeah.
And that's what that marketing is intended to do, is to get them to like and trust implants, be curious about it, and then like and trust this doctor enough that they're willing to talk and get on the phone with somebody, right? Now it's the closing architecture. And here's a little secret.
Yeah, great.
The closing architecture is probably 80% of an office's success, is making sure this is
in place.
Mm-hmm. This is like the first interaction with the real human being, right? Yeah. Talking on the phone to them. So you got to have a good patient journey, a flow that says, you know, a pipeline, if you will, that moves somebody from a phone call to an appointment, to get them to show up to the appointment, to say yes to the treatment, to get them financially qualified and into the chair, right? Moving forward. Yep. And then a good solid team who's trained. Remember we talked about earlier, this is not just like throw them in there and hopefully, you know, wish that they are successful.
Yeah.
Taking somebody from your office that's used to dealing with general patients coming in, and then all of a sudden you throw these people from these blue collar workers, marketing people, you know, or that you pulled from your marketing.
Yeah.
It's like they went from playing baseball to playing cricket. The rules changed. They're like, wait, what happened? Why isn't this person moving forward? Like it is a unique challenge dealing with them. And so we highly recommend investing in some case acceptance training that's dedicated to these high ticket emotional type cases to take your team and give them some extra tools. Just like you went and got trained on how to place implants and got that specialized training, provide that specialized training to your team. It will make all the difference. So get a good team in there. Make sure you've got a good workflow and system. Like you said, make sure you're answering the phone calls quickly, following up on those leads quickly, because it's competitive. These people are probably opting into two or three or four different marketing campaigns out there. Mm-hmm. And if you act fast, you're going to be the first one there, and then you'll have your solid, unique value proposition with all your stuff, and you or your team's well trained. That's how you win in this economy, in this market, and that is the Full Arch framework, is putting all of this in place. What happens if you don't have that good closing architecture in place is you'll jump from marketing agency to marketing agency, and you'll be like, where are the good leads? How come
close? And the marketing agency is the worst. It's like classic, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as you put that closing architecture in place, train your team. As soon as you understand and start to build your authority more, then all of a sudden people will be attracted to you. They'll stay with you. They'll come back to you. Even if they don't start now, they'll come back to you later as soon as they can get that financing. Mm-hmm. And you will close a lot more cases than anybody else around you. And we see it over and over and over again.
Now, let me ask, I'm going to go a little long on this episode. So because this is good. So tell me, can you tell me just a couple of the key pieces of that closing training that I would want to look for? So I'm a dentist or office manager, you know, or team member, I'm listening to this. And what are some of those things like, is it like, there's obviously like phone elements to it. I'm imagining like that conversation, mm-hmm. but that phone, like a lot of things can come up. Like insurance is going to be a piece of that. Pricing mm-hmm. is going to be a piece of that. Clinical skill might be a piece of that. Like, I don't know if these patients, you tell me, like, are these patients asking like, hey, does this doctor, how many have they done? Like, are they really the best? Like, what are some of those, like, if you are giving advice, like what kind of pieces should someone be looking for in this closing architecture? Cause there's also probably like how you treatment plan, how you present once they're in, kind mm-hmm. of like the phone in my mind, like getting them from the phone into the business. And once they're in the business, like what do we do around that patient once they're there? Like length of visit, how do we talk about it? What images do we take? What do we show them? And then can we get them to say yes there? And then if there's like, if they don't say yes there, what does that like follow up kind of, I don't know, I don't want to call it a drip campaign, but how do we like keep working that person and hopefully moving them towards a yes? Like, yeah. Is there, you would add like onto that, like what would you suggest people look for in this like kind of closing and, you know, education training?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So one of the first things to know is that the most overlooked role in all of this is the appointment setter, the person who answers the phone or yeah. who follows up with the leads. So a lot of offices will actually invest in some case acceptance training for the treatment coordinator.
Yeah.
And then they neglect the appointment setter and just think, well, that's just normal. That's just standard stuff, you know? And it's mm-hmm. not. Again, it's the same person who's got these emotional situations. And this is the first contact. It's the first impression. And mm-hmm. as we know, first impressions can go a long way to making or breaking it.
Yeah.
And so not to mention show rate. Like you can get like average show rate for just standard setting on this is around in the 20s or 30s.
Like, okay. Yeah, that's what people see. No, expectation wise.
But you can get it up to the 60s, 70s, and 80s. If, and here's the secret, it's not just the appointment reminder or even a phone call the day before. That's good.
Yeah.
But what that appointment setter says on the phone when they schedule can be the difference between the 20 to 30% to 60, 70, 80% show rates.
100%.
It's huge. That's like an extra how many cases if you crunch the numbers, right? Just because that appointment setter had a better script, knew how to better engage and how to commit these people to showing up. And so if you're doing a case acceptance training, do not neglect training your appointment setter and find a training program. Obviously we have one, we think it's pretty good, but you know, do not neglect training that appointment setter, right? Cause that's a key thing. And also one of the things that you said, you know, how quick do you call that person? If you call a lead back, let's say a lead comes in, if you call that lead within 5 minutes, you are multiple times, it's like 20 times more likely to schedule them and get them coming in than if you wait 30 minutes and then call after 30 minutes. It's like, it's a world of difference. Strike when the iron's hot.
Yes. In fact, let me show this example. So this is not dentistry, but just so like people like hear buying behavior. So I have this rental property and I've renovated everything. And in the basement, I decided there's 3 bedrooms and I decided not to do the carpet. It was like 8 years old. It's kind of like on the edge. Like I could not do it. I could do it. But ultimately I decided I'm not doing the carpet. And I had a potential tenant come and walk through, a little family, and they were going to be great tenants. Like I was really excited about them. But then one of the pieces of feedback afterward was like, yeah, like we just didn't love the carpet. If the carpet was new, then we, you know, would bring, you know, our newborn baby and our daughter in there. We'd live in this house. And I was like, I'll just check and see kind of what it looks like. So I call this carpet place here in Utah and they answer the phone and the kid that gets on the phone is so good. You know, I kind of explain the situation. Hey, I just want to get a quick quote. I'm not totally committed to this, but I just want to get an idea of what it would cost and how quickly I could get this done. And kid, you know, says, okay, great. I'm coming out to the house now. And he's like, wait, how fast did you want to say you get this done? Like he immediately starts to go to like, hey, like you said, you're like pretty far down the decision-making process. And I'm like, in my mind, and I immediately respond to say, no, like, I'm not like going to schedule this now. And he's like, I know, but let's say I could get it done tomorrow. If this all works out, like, could we go ahead and do that? And he's probably like aggressive, but he knows I'm a buyer already. Like I'm pretty far down, you know, he knows I was on the edge. And I'm like, yeah, actually, like for real, you could get an installer here tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, we had an opening in the schedule, and that's rare. Otherwise, it's going to be 2 weeks. So he's creating urgency for me, right? And he's like, cool, I'll come out to the house, no pressure, and I'll do this measurement. So he does the measurement. He brings samples of the exact kind of carpet that I want. And because we talked about it on the phone, he'd asked those questions. He shows me the carpet, and I'm like, yeah, that stuff's great. It's nice. I know it. And that's what I would want. And he gives me the quote, and he's like, how's that sound? And I'm like, that actually sounds pretty good. And he's like, sweet. Well, are you good if we just go ahead and get this done tomorrow? So then I pay him. So on the spot, he's there at my house. I was on the fence about making a decision, but he takes the time just to like explain things to me. And I'm probably like oversimplifying the story just because I don't want to like say it too fast. But he struck when the iron was hot. That's the point I'm making. Like I was just barely opened, like within hours of opening up myself to this idea of recarpeting this basement apartment in this rental home of mine. He got me to the point where all of a sudden now I put a credit card down and I paid for the whole thing. Like I paid for the whole job, and the next morning installers show up, and I'm thrilled that I did it. Like it was a great decision. New tenants moved in over the weekend, and it was awesome. But if he had hesitated and been like, yeah, cool, like I'll come out and measure next week, then he would have missed his window because I would have had new tenants move in. I would have signed a different one, and he probably would have missed the opportunity. Does that make sense? Like life would
Oh,
have just
yeah.
gone. So this idea of like moving while someone's thinking about it and helping them along that path in a skillful way, like it has to be skillful, is so crucial. Okay, I'll shut my mouth. I have loved this conversation. You sound like you've got a thought there.
Well, I was just gonna say, if you own a dealership and you like, let's say you become the franchisee, of a
Yeah.
dealership. If you do that and you don't call leads within 30 minutes, you can lose your status in the franchise,
Interesting, which
in
makes
the
sense.
car space. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because it drops off. Like the likely, these people have already
So
gone
fast.
on scheduling with somebody else, opting in with someone else, checking out. You have to act fast. So calling those leads as quickly as you can. Sometimes offices will actually set up a separate cell phone. Just go get a quick, cell phone and have the phone calls come in through that. So they can make sure, okay, if this phone rings, guys, grab it. This is the
Yeah.
most important call coming into this office today, right?
You have to differentiate it. That's cool.
So yeah, that's it. On the case acceptance side, you just want to make sure the appointment setter definitely, and then obviously the treatment coordinator. What you have to understand is there's psychology to this when we're dealing with learning how to, these people. And so the level of emotion, the level of like how we speak to them, that nuanced training just goes so far to help you build safety and trust with these individuals, make them feel comfortable and safe. And they will remember you if you invest in that extra training. I mean, we could talk for hours about different things that you could do that would improve your et cetera. But
Yeah, let's go
yes.
there. I think if I'm a listener, I think I'm probably like pretty bought into this. Like this has been so valuable, Spencer. Thank you for like sharing this architecture of this authority pillar, the marketing pillar, and the closing pillar. I think even just like starting to wrap our minds around that architecture for how do I really implement full arch and implants in the business is such a healthy place to start to really start thinking through, okay, do I have the right pieces in place to be successful as I advance my clinical skill in dentistry? I always and so thank you for sharing what you had. I think it'd be fun to do even more of this. I think this was highly valuable. I ask every guest the same question, so I'm going to ask you this and we'll wrap things up. And I will say this too. We will put the website for Dental Implant Machine in the show notes. Definitely do not hesitate to reach out to Spencer. He and the team at Dental Implant Machine are so cool. As you can tell from this episode, they're abundantly mindsetted. Like they will share with you, they will help you. Obviously, they have programs. So, like, not everything is free, but programs that are worthwhile, that are data driven. And you can tell that they're so thoughtful around the way they organize what they're going to teach you and how to set things up to make sure that it's because if it's a win for you, it's a win for them. So definitely engage with him and his team. If you're sitting there thinking, okay, I want to take myself to the next level and really invest in this. And I know for a fact there are just thousands and thousands and thousands of practices out there that could be highly impacted by their influence. So definitely take him up on that. Spencer, the final question I ask to every episode guest is, what does growth in dentistry mean to you? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
You know, I would answer that by saying the very first thought that came into my head when you said growth in dentistry, we really believe in like win-win, win-win-win type mindset, right? Cool. And at the end of the day, if you are changing lives, like that's the funnest part about what we get to do is see the testimonials and the smile reveals and, you know, people crying and just having their lives changed. But then also hearing the stories. I had a doctor recently I was speaking to get emotional and just say, I've been able to take my wife on trips she's wanted to go on and be able to do things with my kids that I never imagined I'd be able to do because of what you guys have helped me establish and grow, right? And so that means a lot of smiles change, a lot of lives change for the better. Plus his life was changed in his family's life. Plus it was a win for us. You know, we've been able to provide for them and serve, and that's a blessing for us and families as well. And so that's what growth looks like, is real, you know, real value out there and really changing lives. And it's blessing everybody across the board.
Yeah. What a beautiful perspective. I think it's so easy to get caught up in like the mundane day-to-day of dentistry and business management and forget about the fact that, yeah, like investing in, especially this specific clinical skill we're talking about, implants. It's like people that are used to like only doing like tight-lipped smiles, you know, like they're avoiding showing their teeth, to finally feeling like the joy of opening up that mouth and showing off the smile. Like that alone is so insanely cool to know that you're giving someone the confidence in their ability to smile, plus the benefit to the family, like, and the team. Like you didn't mention this, but I'm sure that like, I always say this, success breeds success. So if the doctor is feeling good, the owner, about the way the business is going, that just trickles down to that team and their experience at work and life improves. So I love that perspective on what does growth in dentistry mean. And I love what you guys are investing in, Spencer. I think it's super cool in the way that you're trying to help serve this industry and patients. So thank you again for joining us today. And thank you for the listeners for joining again for another Growth in Dentistry podcast. This has been another awesome episode, and excited to keep spending time with you guys. We will talk soon. Keep growing.